You should be in Matthew 9. You ever call on the phone? You call a business, maybe it's a bank or who knows what, and you get this computer menu. And for English, press 1. For Spanish, press 2. And then you press whichever one you want. And then you get another menu. And if you are a provider, press 1. If you are a customer, press 2. If you are this, press 3. And so you press the appropriate number and you get another menu. And if you want to know your account balance, press 1. If you want to renew a card, press 2. If you wish to open a new account, press 3. If you want to do this, press 4. For every other option, press 9. Well, you didn't fit any of the options, so you press 9. And you get another menu. If you would like to order new checks, press 1. If you would like to, isn't there this point at which, just let me talk to a human being? You ever have that? You want to talk to a person. I don't want a computer to give me 27 different options. Just give me a person. And there's something about real people that we like. In fact, we need. You see, when you go to a doctor, you want to actually see a real person, don't you? You don't want to type your symptoms into a computer formula and it goes through the algorithm and spits back a diagnosis and you go to a vending machine to get your medication. Nobody wants that. You want a real person. When you don't really know what to do, because, you know, you've got this life situation, I don't know, should I do this or should I do this? You want to talk to a real person. Right? Okay. In Christianity, you have what you need. Because Christianity centers on a real person. Christianity is not about doctrines that you believe, although that's there, but that's not the central part of Christianity. Christianity is not rules that you have to follow. Christianity is not rituals that you have to perform these rituals just so. Christianity is about Christ. It focuses on Jesus. And it gives you a real person to go to when you need somebody. We'll put it that way. And so as Christians, we do not pray to a distant God. God is not up there in the sky somewhere. He's with us here. Now, that's in fact what Jesus did when he came. One of his names was Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's why he came. Partly why he came, to be with us. And what that means is we, as people, can come to Jesus with whatever's going on in our lives. And when we do, what we're doing is we're coming to a real person. There are no computer menus in the kingdom of God. That's praise the Lord. They're not there. When you want to talk to God, you have a straight line. There's no, if you are an American, press 1. If you are a Korean, press 2. If you are, that doesn't work. That's not how it is. You go straight to God through Christ. And in Christ, we come to a real person who actually understands because he's been where we are. And so we can go to God, to the throne of God, through the grace of Christ. That is our right as Christians. We have that as a right to do that. Today we're going to look at a text where two people go straight to Jesus with help. They want help. And they come straight to Christ. And so, Matthew chapter 9, I'm going to be reading verses 18 to 26. It says, while he was saying these things, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died. But come, lay your hand on her, and she will live. And Jesus arose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. And Jesus turned and seeing her said, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. And instantly she was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, go away. The girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put out of the house, Jesus went in and took her by the hand. And the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. Two healings, right? We just saw two healings. Two people who are desperate. One is a dad and one is a woman. These people are hurting. And two people who come to Jesus. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, it says, are you going to check that? In verse 18, it says, a ruler came in and knelt before him. So the ruler came in. The ruler came to Jesus. And then verse 20, it says that now a woman who had suffered a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him. She's approaching him. This woman, she's heard about Jesus probably, and she's coming to him for her situation. In both instances, the ruler and the woman approach Jesus. And they do so because they believe Jesus can do something. That's why they came to him. If they didn't believe he could do something, they wouldn't come. So then, you and me, will you come to Jesus? I mean, that's really important, right? When you are sick, will you come to Jesus? Or when you move and you're lonely, will you come to Jesus? I mean, really, you're not really alone, are you? Or all of your kids, you come to Jesus, right? For your kids, for Sada, for you were asking for glasses concerning reaching Muslims. Come to Jesus. Carissa, you're going off to college soon, and it'll be difficult. It'll be a big change for you. Will you come to Jesus in that situation? And so, listen, guys, we can still come to Jesus today. to a living person. He is God with us. That's who he is. And so whatever your problems are, whatever your situation happens to be, doesn't matter. Come to Jesus. Now, here in America, that phrase, come to Jesus, sometimes people say it's trite. Trite means shallow. All words, no substance. That's what trite means. Sometimes people talk about, oh, they hear that all the time, come to Jesus, you know. And it's just words. Sometimes they make fun of it. Kind of a laugh at the whole idea. And maybe for such people, it really is trite. That's unfortunate. Maybe they just don't believe. Because they miss the power. If all you think is that come to Jesus is nothing but words, then for you, I'm afraid that's all it's going to be. But if you understand that there's power in Christ, when you come to him, then there's power in doing so. Now, if you don't really come to Jesus with your life, where do you go? I mean, what are your options? Oh, you go to your friends, your family, maybe the government. You know, the government's going to help me out with this or that. And there's nothing wrong, by the way, with seeking the advice of friends and talking to your family and, you know, applying to the government for a scholarship, for help. That's all fine. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. However, compared to Christ, all earthly help is like pennies compared to billions of dollars. And so if you were in financial trouble, let's say, and you needed $100,000, would you go to someone who made $20,000 a year? Or would you go to a multi-billionaire? You know who you would go to, right? Someone who actually has the resources to meet your need. Would you go to someone who did not know you? Or would you go to someone who knew you? All things being equal, you'd go to someone who knew you, wouldn't you? Don't you know that's who Christ is? If you needed advice, would you go to someone who has little wisdom or someone who has great wisdom? Don't you know that's who Christ is? I'm going to read you something. This is an excerpt from an old sermon. It was preached by George Whitefield. George Whitefield was around in the 1700s. So this sermon is about 250 years old, thereabout. The title of the sermon is Christ, the Best Husband. In the sermon, he's actually addressing single women. And he's encouraging single women. He's not saying stay single, don't get married. But what he is saying is, you look for a husband, and that's fine. But Christ is a better husband than any husband you could ever have. And in the Bible, the Bible uses that language, that we actually marry Christ when we become Christians. And so I'm just going to read you an excerpt from this sermon. It's really powerful. He says, consider who the Lord Jesus is, whom you are invited to marry yourselves to. He is the best husband. There is none comparable to Jesus Christ. Do you desire a man that is great? Well, he is of the highest dignity. He is the glory of heaven, the darling of eternity, admired by angels, dreaded by devils, and adored by saints. For you to be married to so great a king, what honor you would have by this marriage. Do you desire one that is rich? None is comparable to Christ. The fullness of the earth belongs to him. If you are married to Christ, you shall share in his unsearchable riches. You shall receive of his fullness, even grace for grace, here. And you shall afterwards be admitted to glory and shall live with this Jesus in all eternity. Do you desire one that is wise? There is none comparable to Christ for wisdom. His knowledge is infinite and his wisdom corresponds to it. And if you are married to Christ, he will guide and counsel you and make you wise unto salvation. Do you desire one that is strong, who can defend you against your enemies and all the insults and reproaches of the Pharisees of this generation? There is none that can equal Christ in power, for the Lord Jesus has all power. Do you desire one that is good? There is none like Christ in this regard. Others may have some goodness, but it is imperfect. Christ's goodness is complete and perfect. He's full of goodness, and in him dwells no evil. Do you desire one that is beautiful? His eyes are most sparkling. His looks and glances of love are ravishing. His smiles are most delightful and refreshing to the soul. Christ is the most lovely person of all others in the world. Do you desire one that can love you? None can love you like Christ. His love, my dear sisters, is incomprehensible. His love passes all other loves. The love of the Lord Jesus is first, without beginning. His love is free, without any motive. His love is great, without any measure. His love is constant, without any change, and his love is everlasting. Everything we look for, everywhere else but God, can only be found in God. Every greatness, every wealth, every wisdom, every power, every goodness, every beauty, and every love we are longing for can only be found in him. And in him we find the apex of all these virtues and more. Even the best of all earthly versions of these virtues are just pale substitutes. Even the most joyous marriage, the most blessed parenthood, the most adorable of babies virtually disappears in the radiance of his most joyous of joys, most blessed of blessedness, most adorable of adorability, just as the stars disappear when the sun comes up. That's Jesus. When I say, come to Jesus, I'm saying, that's what you come to. And I'm saying, why would you not do that? I don't understand why someone would not do that. And so, if you ignore Christ, what you are ignoring is the greatest, the richest, the strongest, the wisest, the best, the most loving, most beautiful person you have. When you come to him, you come to the King of Kings, who laid down his life for you. Will he not then care for you? He's already shown by giving his life that he loves you. Now, as the ruler came to Jesus, and as the woman came to Jesus, come to Jesus, you too. And when you come in faith. You see, the ruler believed Jesus could do something. Look at verse 18 again. It said, the ruler came in and knelt before him and said, my daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her, and she will live. So that's what he said. He believed Jesus could actually do something about his daughter. That's why he came to Jesus. He actually says Jesus can do something about her. And look at the woman also believed Jesus could do something. So look at verse 21. Verse 21 says, the woman, she comes up behind him, she touches the fringe of his garment. The fringe, by the way, is the edge. She's got a robe on, she's touching the bottom part of his garment, most likely. And it says, verse 21, for she said to herself, if I only touch his garment, I will be made well. And Jesus said to her, take heart, daughter, your faith. That's what Jesus called it, faith. Your faith has made you well. The ruler had faith that Jesus could do something. The woman had faith that Jesus could do something. When you come to Jesus, you come in faith, believing that he can do something. Now, when Jesus gets to the ruler's house, we see he sees the flute players, and he sees the crowd, and they're making a big commotion and mourning and whatnot, and they laugh at him when he says, oh, she's sleeping. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. And they laughed at him. They have no faith, because they don't think he can do anything. That's why they're laughing at him. Now, the flute players were just hired for a funeral. That's why they're there. And much of the crowd may be there for the same reason. And they know the girl is dead. That's why they're there. And they don't think Jesus can do anything about it. See, they are just like this world. That's how this world is. You know, I told you, come to Jesus, people make fun of that. People laugh at it today just as people back then laughed at Jesus when he said the girl isn't dead, she's just sleeping. See, for the most part, this world today does not think Jesus can help you. And you want to know why? They have no faith. That's why. If they had faith, they would not think that Jesus can't help you. They would know that he can. And so the riches of Christ are ours by faith. It's by faith that we lay hold of the kingdom of God. And so your faith has made you well. And then it says, and instantly she was made well. Guys, hear that. Hear that. Your faith has made you well, and instantly she was made well. There's power in faith in Christ. There's faith in Christ has power because Christ has power. It's not that faith is some magic thing. It's that Christ has power. And when you have faith in him, what you are doing is you are plugging yourself into where the power is. Just like you take a cord and plug it into the wall, the power isn't in the cord, it's in the wall. Faith is kind of like the plug. Saying, all right, let's plug it right there. Boom. So, what does this mean? Do you worry? Your faith will make you well. You stressed out about stuff? Your faith will make you well. You depressed? Your faith will make you well. Sick? Your faith will make you well. Lose your job? Your faith will make you well. Family deny you? Your faith will make you well. I'm not saying that your faith will give you exactly what you want. I'm saying it will make you well. And so there's a difference sometimes. Sometimes we want God to do this, and instead God does something else. And in the end, we find out that what God did was actually better than what we wanted. But we feel, oh, God didn't hear me because he didn't give me what I wanted. Listen, your faith will make you well. It really will. I'm not saying it will eliminate suffering. The Bible is full of faithful people suffering. I'm just saying it will make you well. Kind of like that song, "It Is Well With My Soul," right? In that song, if you know the story behind it, the man who wrote the song was actually in great grief at the time. He had just lost his family when he wrote that song. "But it is well with my soul," he said. Why? Because the circumstances were great? No, he just lost his family. But because he had faith in a great God. Your faith will make you well. Faith in Christ is powerful. It overcomes the world. And we as Christians, we need to hold on to Jesus Christ by faith. And faith is simple. It's not, you don't have to have a PhD to have faith. You don't have to have a lot of money to have faith. You don't have to have all these skills and abilities, and there's no resume. God isn't looking for what have you done for me? That's not what God's looking for when he wants, a two-year-old can have faith. Faith is nothing more than trust. You believe Jesus can do something, and you trust him. That's what faith is. You don't fast, you don't do works, you just trust him. Now, the woman with the discharge of blood trusted Jesus. And we know that because she came to him, and she touched the fringe of his garment, and she thought to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I'll be made well." The ruler trusted Jesus. And we know that because he came to him and he said, "Come, lay your hand on my daughter and she will be alive. She will live." And so he's coming to ask for Jesus' help. In other words, they're showing their trust in Jesus by coming to him. And so do we. And he helps us. Here in the stories, he heals a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, and he raises the dead. That is what I would call authority. Jesus has got authority. This is continuing the theme that Matthew was on. And concerning the authority of Jesus, just I want to review a little bit. Just think for a moment what he has authority over. We have seen Jesus have authority over leprosy, which is a skin disease, paralysis, which is a person cannot walk, and he made him walk. Fever, he has authority over demons. We have seen him have authority over nature. He speaks to the wind and the sea, and they stop. The storm stops. Because Jesus spoke with authority to nature. We've seen him have authority over sin. You remember when they brought him the man who was paralyzed? Jesus said to him, "So that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Okay, he just said, "I have authority over sin. I have authority to forgive sin." Jesus has that authority. We've already seen that. He has authority over his disciples. He says to Matthew, the tax collector, "Follow me," and he follows him. He says to others, "Follow me." Those are authority words. Now, what we are seeing him have authority over is a bleeding discharge that has lasted 12 years. And now he has authority over death itself. Guys, Jesus is stronger than death. I want you to just think about that for a moment. Jesus is stronger than death. Can you think of anybody you would go to for help that is stronger than death? can't. I mean, if you come to me for help, I'll be glad to help you. But I'm not stronger than death. I'm Mike. Pleased to meet you, Mike here. And I'm going to point you to Jesus. Because he is stronger than death. And you can trust him. You can come to him. He's a real person. That's the great thing about it. He's a real person. And he has authority and power and a heart to help. Okay. In the past, I've asked you to write down issues you're wrestling with, struggling with, issues you want to bring to God. And I want you to think of some of those things right now. That I've actually had you in the past write some of those things down. If you weren't here in the past when I did that, then what I'm going to ask you to do is to write down. You could write on the back of those scripture that I gave you if you wish. But to write down something to come to Jesus for. What is it? Is it forgiveness? Do you see your own sin? He has authority on earth to forgive sins. Do you want to come to him for forgiveness? Is it peace? Maybe you wrestle with peace inside. He grants peace. The peace of God passes all understanding. Is it future direction? I don't know what to do next. Well, try going to the one who has wisdom and knows the future. You can see it. He operates from eternity, not where we operate from, inside time. Is it worry? You worry about this? Bring it to him. Whatever, a sick mom, go to Jesus with this stuff. And so what I'm going to give you a minute just to write it down. If you've already written this down in the past, that's fine. You just think of it. But I'm going to, for those that have not, I'm going to give you a minute just to think about what is it you want to bring to Christ. Just write that down on the back of the scripture that I gave to you. I'm simply going to pray. Lord, you are the greatest, most beautiful, most powerful, wisest source that we can come to. Nothing surpasses you. We give you praise. What else can we do? Give you praise. Hallelujah. And I want to pray for my brothers and my sisters here who have written something down or have something in their minds that they want to bring to you. And I pray that we as a people would bring to you these concerns, these issues, these desires, these whatever it is. That we would come to you in faith, believing that you can do something. And I thank you that you can. Glory to you, God. Glory to your name. Lord, I pray as well for the rest of our time as we just spend time together, have lunch, visit. May your spirit dwell in this place. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.